Listening Library presents The Rights and Wrongs of Janice Wills by Joanna Pearson. Read for you by Emily Janice Card. The Anthropological Headquarters of Janice H. Wills, Melva, North Carolina. Mark Aldendurfer, Ph.D., Editor, Current Anthropology. Dear Dr. Aldendurfer, I write to you from my anthropological research station in Melva, North Carolina, where I have been deeply engaged studying the cultures, behaviors, and rituals of the American adolescent in the small town South, a strange and fascinating creature, I'm sure you'll agree. I submit the enclosed field notes in hopes that my findings may be of interest to you and to the readers of Current Anthropology. I believe there are several anthropological breakthroughs contained in these pages. Yes, it is true that I am only an adolescent myself, but I ask you, who better to approach the subject? I am truly immersed in the cultures that I study, being both the observer and the observed. Although I do not yet have my Ph.D. in anthropology, I am a member in good standing of both Beta Club and National Honor Society here at Melva High School. I've done extensive research on my own and am something of an old-fashioned autodidact. Please see my findings enclosed. I very much look forward to your feedback. Sincerely, Janice H. Wills, Anthropologist. Anthropological Observation Number 1. Adolescence provides the female with ample opportunity to appear ugly and awkward as part of numerous socially mandated rituals. These rituals are perpetuated by adult women who consider such events to be part of their community heritage. In other words, the insult was once inflicted upon them, and so must in turn be inflicted upon their own daughters. Like most girls in my hometown, I had to face the Miss Livermush pageant when I was around 17 years old, 16 years and 10 months to be exact. Thus, for purposes of anthropological comparison, 1. Were my name Janice Garcia Lopez instead of Janice Wills, already I might have been ushered into womanhood through a quinceañera celebration on my 15th birthday. In a flounced white dress, my hair in perfect ringlets, I'd have performed a choreographed dance with my court of attendants and smiled for a gazillion photos snapped by my adoring aunts and female cousins. 2. Were I Jewish, around age 13, I might have had a bat mitzvah, at which I would have read Hebrew aloud before dancing my feet off at the party held afterward, preferably with Justin Timberlake as the featured entertainment. 3. Were I the son of a noble Japanese samurai family during the Heian era, this year I would have received my adult clothing and hairstyle during the Genpuku, or Kakan, ceremony at the shrine of my patron, Kami. 4. Were I a daughter of a Bambuti hunter-gatherer in the Congo, I would already have been married for several years by now, as arranged through a sister exchange, i.e., my husband would have had to offer his sister or other female relative to a male in my family for marriage too, like trading teenaged livestock. Instead, I was an early 21st century, middle-class Protestant girl of Western European descent living in a small town in the southern region of the United States of America. Nearing the end of my junior year at Melva High School, I had two coming-of-age rituals to look forward to. 1. The aforementioned Melva's Miss Livermush pageant and corresponding Livermush Festival, where the community celebrates everyone's favorite pork liver-based processed meat by marching 20 young women in ridiculous dresses across a stage. And 2. The accompanying Livermush Festival dance, which holds the place of socio-cultural importance that the prom might hold for adolescents in certain other cultures. I would also add a possible third thing to the list, a secret goal that could make my entire high school experience worthwhile. 3. publishing an article in Current Anthropology before I graduated from high school, thus becoming the youngest person to have done so and legitimizing myself as a scholar in the field. Because what was my thing? My talent? My one true joy? You ask, having already gathered that being marched across a stage in a ridiculous dress was clearly not it? Observing people, that's what. Anthropology, that's what. Anthropology, what our friend Merriam-Webster describes as the science of human beings, especially the study of human beings and their ancestors through time and space and in relation to physical character, environmental and social relations, and culture. If you want the all-time best self-taught anthropologist under the age of 18, I'm your girl. My real coming of age began on a bright April Saturday in Melva, North Carolina. The morning air was sweet with hydrangea blossoms, and the carefully manicured gardens of our neighbors were studded with red, heavy-headed tulips. Nosy Mrs. Crander across the street was outside in little plastic gardening clogs, already at work in her flower beds. The other houses, neat, modest multi-bedroom homes with basketball hoops and clean cars in the driveways, remained quiet. My best friend, Margot, had slept over, and now we sat on the porch swing, staring speechless at the hypnotic sight in front of us. A flubbery, middle-aged woman was dancing, right there on our front porch. She had platinum-dyed hair and teeth white enough to blind small children. She did a little skip to the left, hopped 2-3, and then skipped to the right, her hands held forward like paws, her gold bracelets jangling. The old boards of the porch creaked as she bounded from foot to foot. The woman looked like a lunatic. The woman was my mother. "It's called the pony, girls," my mom panted, skipping from side to side. "I loved this dance. My friends and I did it to so many songs back at my Miss Livermush dance, they had to stop the music and force us to do the grand march." Margot collapsed onto me, hooting with laughter. "It's awesome, Mrs. Wills. Keep dancing," she managed to gulp. Mrs. Crander looked up from her garden and squinted at us. "Oh, I could still do it all night, girls. All night. I've still got it in me." She tilted her head back, a bead of sweat zipping down her forehead, her eyes gleaming with lunacy. "Woo! Yeah!" my mom shouted to herself. "Keep on! Keep on doing the pony, Sandra!" I smacked my hand on my forehead so hard my hand stung. "My God, Mom! Geez, you have got to stop!" Anthropologists note, my mom is obsessed with this dance, the pony. Any dance historians among you will note that the pony peaked in popularity nationwide in 1962, well before my mom's own adolescence. It remains unclear whether my mom's belated pony obsession stems from the fact that, A, trends only ever make their way to Melva decades too late, or, B, my mom herself is stubbornly old-fashioned and would be the type of person who was doing a dance from the early 60s that her own mom taught her while everyone else was practicing his moonwalk. Additional note, the 1960s pony dance equals a wholesomely old-fashioned dance, not to be confused or associated with the 1996 R&B single Pony by Ginuwine. It's a different thing altogether, trust me. My mom once made that mistake and found the experience much more scandalous. Margot, still giggling, tugged my shirt. "Relax, Jan. Your mom is awesome. She's got spunk." I groaned. Mom frowned mid-pony, right arm up, left arm down. A strand of platinum hair concealed one heavily mascaraed eye. "Janice, you've got to stop that. All that God and Jesusing." She brushed the hair away as she spoke, short of breath. "I'm sure Jesus has better things to worry about, but people in Melva don't. They'll say you're impolite. The only thing in
Sample complete. Ready to continue?